This is Life Rattle, CKLN's story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Tonight, Life Rattle number 1160 features stories by two classics, one by Sean Black and one by Sultan Amorelli. Our first writer tonight, Sean Black, has appeared on the Life Rattle show many times over the years. He read his story, Trouble, at the 1999 Totally Unknown Writers Festival at the Rivoli. Sean Black was born in Toronto in 1970, the eldest of three children. Black grew up in the suburbs until he came to Toronto on his own when he was 17. Then he stayed in Toronto, working downtown and sometimes on Caribbean cruises as an audio technician. When we last heard from Sean, he was headed to Chile, but that was a long time ago. So, Sean, if you're out there and listening, drop us a line at liferattle.ca and let us know what you're up to these days. Now, please be advised that some Life Rattle stories contain sexually explicit scenes and language that may be offensive to some people. Listener discretion is advised. So let's listen now as Sean Black reads his story, Clown Rage. You're listening to Life Rattle on CKLN.
Clown Rage by Sean Black. Bumper and I are going to be late for the gig at the Scarborough Town Center. We move north along the Don Valley Parkway in the sheer Clown Band 5-ton truck at 120 kilometers per hour. I feel nervous as always driving with Bumper the Clown. He is not speaking. Bumper doesn't speak when he is angry. Even in clown face, the bright red exaggerated sausage smile, the baby blue stars on the cheekbones, Bumper still looks pissed. We are passing cars so quickly they appear as oncoming traffic. My hand instinctively reaches for the dashboard for protection each time the truck jolts left or right. Occasionally, the Bumper jams the heel of his hand into the horn at a passing motorist moving too slow in the passing lane. This infuriates Bumper. He manages to overtake these turtles, then once maneuver in front of them, stomps his pink size 13 Chuck Taylor on the brake to teach the bastard a lesson. I say nothing. I fear how Bumper the Clown will react if I tell him to take it easy. I clench my teeth and with my right hand grip the smokes in my jacket pocket. I am 21 years old this year. It is 1991. I have kept myself away from the bottle for the last 14 months. I met Bumper the Clown and the Sheer Clown Band shortly after leaving the treatment center. I moved from Brampton to Toronto to concentrate on my music. When I arrived in the city, I sought a job relating to music or audio. I registered with a government-funded internship program, and they introduced me to Sheer Entertainment. My interview was for a position with Natalie, or Natty the Clown, president of Sheer Entertainment. Over the telephone, I told Natalie I liked working with kids, which wasn't exactly true. I told her I was a hard worker and that I wanted to learn about the music industry. During the interview, Natalie worked the telephones in her tiny office while shuffling mounds of cluttered papers covering her desk. She asked questions about my work history in the field. As I began to answer, she left her seat in the office and began pulling pots out of the cupboards in the adjoining kitchen. Keep talking, she called out. I'm listening. I felt awkward sitting alone in her office, trying to explain away my checkered and humiliating work history. Well, I said, my very first job was in a music store. Music 23. I learned quite a bit with all the PA gear they had. On a few occasions, they sent me out to help set up for a school dance or assist them for a local bar. My thoughts wandered to the night the manager of Music 23 took me to Nag's Head North to set up for a sound system for the Kings. We were served beer all night. By the time the show was over, I had to be wheeled out of the venue in a Sirwin Vega bass bin. The manager, Steve, was great to work under, I said. I heard what sounded like Natalie chopping vegetables. She didn't encourage me to say more, but I continued anyway, afraid of any silence. I did a bit of retail as well, I said. It wasn't an audio job, Beaver Lumber, but I learned a lot of people skills. I suddenly remembered sleeping on the toilet in the staff bathroom for 4 hours a day. A valuable skill in retail, I thought at the time. The chopping stopped. Do you play anything, Sean? Are you a musician? Natalie asked. Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. Guitar. I can sing, too. Oh, well, great. Do you play professionally, or... Well, I played quite a few bars, I said. I got frustrated with the bar scene and decided I needed to find interests outside that life. What was the name of the band? Natalie asked. Well, it's kind of a joke, really. No, really, what was it? Do I know the name? I don't think so, I said. I didn't name the band. Our bass player named it, actually, but it was called Far Gone Sean and the Spike Suckers. Pretty stupid. This interview was going nowhere, I thought. How could I mention these things, Far Gone Sean, as actual work experience? How could playing Motorhead and Thin Lizzy covers at the Gasworks in a drunken stupor get me this position? I felt low and dirty. I wish I could have started the interview over. I wish my life had been different. I kind of want to move above all that stuff, I said. I really want to learn what you guys are doing. I rubbed my palms dry against my khakis. I heard a sound from the front of the house. I heard a thump at the door, and I heard it creaking open. I kept speaking until I heard Natalie conversing in a hushed tone. The front door slammed shut. Sean, Natalie said. Come here and meet John. I lifted myself from my seat and walked past Natalie, chopping garlic on the bare counter, toward the figure taking off his shoes by the front door. John looked up and with a wide, warm smile, shook my hand. Hey, hey, what's new, fella? John's voice was deep and charming, his eyes bright silver. He stood over me at 7 feet tall, his frame thin yet solid, his short gray hair wild and wavy above his protruding brow. He wore a thick silver mustache, neatly trimmed. John? Natalie called out again. This is Sean Black, our new audio technician. I felt a surge of joy through my stomach. With those few words, I felt like a whole defined man at last. I was finally heading somewhere, productive and proud, after years of uncertainty. Sean, meet Bumper the Clown, my husband. We exchanged hellos. I felt overwhelmed, but kept my composure. I believe they saw me as a pro, therefore I had to keep the fraud going long enough to learn exactly what I needed to learn. It's a pleasure to meet you, Sean, John said. Let's eat. I try not to look at the road and focus out the side window to my right. We exit the DVP onto the 401. The circular field enclosed by the ramp reveals discarded cigarette packs and soda bottles amongst the weeds and melting snow. The warming weather reminds me of this time last year, when I started with Sheer Entertainment, and the feelings of joy and optimism of going to those early shows at Scarborough shopping malls. Now I wonder if I am better off in this truck with Bumper, or selling 2x4s at Beaver Lumber. A year ago, I did not know I would watch Bumper scream and yell at Natalie just before shows in front of kids. Sometimes I think he is going to punch her, but he ends up punching something nearby. I did not know I would listen to Natalie tell me she is looking for a way to get rid of Bumper from the company, that she wants a divorce. I am in the middle of a situation I don't want to be. I want to work in the music industry, and I want to be a professional. We leave the 401 at Warden Avenue, the wrong exit. I do not tell Bumper he has made this mistake. I fear him flailing his arms in a rage and smashing his fists through the dashboard. Bumper's head jerks around. He squints at the signs. He knows what he has done, but he stays calm. He giggles to himself and mutters something about getting too old. I can relax. Bumper drives through a residential area. He brakes hard at each stoplight, then floors the gas at the greens. I rock back and forth. The red and white 5-ton truck feels too large on neat little suburban streets. We are now 2 minutes late for scheduled arrival. Showtime is in 15 minutes. We turn onto a busier main road, 2 lanes each way. Heading east, a silver Audi is driving the speed limit in the passing lane ahead of us. We rush up close, about 2 feet from the Audi's tail. I grip my seat and look away. Bumper leans on the horn for an embarrassing 10 seconds, but the Audi stays on course. Bumper pulls the truck to the right to pass, and the Audi responds by speeding up and blocking us again in the right lane. "You little cunt!" Bumper screams. He honks. He steps on the accelerator, and the truck lunges forward. We are coming up fast on the Audi. I cannot believe what is happening. I cannot believe I am in this situation. It doesn't look like we will be able to avoid a collision. The seatbelt cuts into my chest as the brake hits and I am thrown forward. Again we move to the left to pass. Bumper is breathing loudly. I look over and see his painted white nostrils flaring wide. I am scared, but I hold my silence. Not far ahead, I notice an intersection. The Audi does not try to block us this time. The lights turn red as we approach. Both vehicles come to a stop side by side. I look out my passenger window and see a suited man in the Audi looking straight ahead of him with a smirk. I hear our driver door open. I see Bumper the Clown storming past the front of the truck towards the Audi. The suit struggles to secure all 4 locks on his doors and frantically rolls up his side windows. A 7-foot clown with neon green pants, pinstripe burgundy jacket, honking red nose, and a puffy orange afro looms over the hood of the silver Audi. He raises his 2 fists in the air. "You!" Bumper's fists come down on the hood. "Fucker!" The sound of Bumper's fists slamming the hood echo from the houses on the side of the street. I think of the Incredible Hulk television program I watched as a kid. Bumper's face contorts in anger. His painted red lips stretch wide over his pulsating, clenching jaw muscles. His brow is pressed into a sharp V, meeting the top of his nose. The Audi driver looks horrified. He seems paralyzed. Bumper holds his position, fist planted into the Audi's hood, his lungs pumping out clouds of heavy breath as he stares down the petrified driver. I sit and wait. As soon as Bumper moves out of the way, the Audi makes a quick right-hand turn at the intersection and speeds away out of sight. I no longer care if we are on time for the show. Bumper gets back into the truck. The light is now green, and we resume our drive slowly and carefully through the intersection. Hey, John, you okay, man? There is a short silence, and for a moment I think Bumper hasn't heard me. I keep quiet and pretend I didn't ask. After a few seconds, he clears his throat. Yeah, hey, sorry, Sean. I laugh to myself. Looking over at Bumper, I see he too is chuckling. Hey, kiddies, John breaks out in a silly clown voice. Let that be your lesson for the day. Play it safe. We both break out in loud, uncontrollable laughter. I am 21 years old. It is 1991, and I am learning about the music business.
That was Sean Black reading his story, Clown Rage. Our next writer on tonight's program is Sultan Amorelli. Sultan Amorelli was born in Toronto in 1977, the third of four boys. His father's work as a civil engineer took the Amorelli family to Saudi Arabia when Sultan was two. They stayed in Saudi Arabia for 5 years before returning to Scarborough. After graduating from U of T in math and physics, Amorelli then switched to journalism at Centennial College. The story you are going to hear tonight comes from a series Sultan Amorelli has written about what he refers to as bottom feeder jobs. Let's listen now as Amorelli reads his story, Night Shift, at the BK Variety, here on Life Rattle. And you're listening to Life Rattle over the internet, from CKLN in Toronto.
The Night Shift at BK Variety by Sultan Amorelli. It takes all my willpower to pull my head off the counter and look around. It's still dark outside, but the wind has kicked up a bit since I last checked. I look at my watch. 4:36 a.m. Almost 90 minutes have gone by since I looked at my watch last. I look at the store. The coffee machine by the door still has coppery stains running down the side. The used filters are still stuffed into a coffee pot beside the machine. And the coffee pot under the machine is still half full of ice-cold, caffeine-infested sludge. The machine smells bad, like rancid barbecue. I cannot bring myself to clean it. The magazine rack across from the store from the coffee machine still has the same array of month-old car magazines, erotica, and pornography. I run down my mental checklist, and everything is exactly the same. All the same crap and garbage that BK Variety always sells is in the same place. It's one of those nights where nobody comes in, and I feel every agonizing minute go by. I pull a pack of Player's Light off the precious cigarette shelf behind me. In West Scarborough, cigarettes are the gateway to a magic land, and I am the gatekeeper. After ripping through cellophane, I light one up, take a drag, hold the smoke in my lungs, and slowly open my mouth. My head gets about 5 pounds lighter. I look down at my Toronto Star. I am now prepared to once again attack the jumble puzzle. R-A-C-I-H, I repeat to myself for the 100th, or the 200th, or maybe the 300th time. God damn it, I yell out at the empty store. I'm this close to figuring it out, I lie to myself. I get up off the stool and feel 1,000 needles in my legs as they buckle. I grab the cash register for support as I free a thick plume of smoke from my lungs. Fucking legs are asleep. I need to stretch, I yell, coughing up the last few words. Yelling when nobody's in the store is good for 2 reasons. 1, it relieves stress. And 2, anybody outside the store who is thinking of coming in the store will probably think again. I look down at the stool. Yellow foam oozes out of a tear in the corner of the flattened black vinyl seat. Fucking fat pant loads on the day shift are killing the stool. I can't sit on this anymore. I'm getting chair ass. Fucking chair ass. Chair ass, I scream. I sit back down. So much for stretching. R-A-C-I-H. R-A-C-I-H. R-A-C-I-fucking-H. As I repeat my chant, the door opens, and a tall, spindly kid strides casually towards the counter, with his arms limp at his sides, doing a version of the pimp roll. His big yellow construction boots clunk as he makes his way towards me. Clunk, clunk, clunk. I stare at him and notice the pantyhose on his face. He puts his hand in his pocket, coming forward. Clunk, clunk. Panic hits. I look under the counter. The baseball bat and the crowbar that are supposed to be there under the counter are not. Clunk. He stops and pulls out a small revolver from his bulky red winter jacket. I'm a dead man. He extends his arm, holding the gun sideways. He starts firing, above me and to the left. He's shooting at the security camera in the corner of the store. Pop, 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 pop. The dust from the old, cracked, and formerly white drywall mingles with the dust from behind the old, cracked, and formerly white drywall, creating a giant dirt cloud around the camera. We both wait for the dust to clear. 5 seconds pass, then 10. I realize my cigarette is still in my mouth. I want to take a drag, but I can't bring myself to breathe. Finally, the dust clears enough to see the red light under the lens of the security camera shine through the haze. I turn and look at the kid, and our eyes lock for a split second in joint disbelief. Shit, he says as he turns and clunks out of the store. Clunk, clunk. I sit there for a while, just staring at the sour cream and onion chips across from me. My player's light is burning down to the filter, and the ash on the end of the cigarette is close to breaking off. Then it hits me. R-A-C-I-H. C-H-A-I-R. Chair. Chair. It was chair. I move on to the last jumble. Let the day shift call the cops. S-U-S-C-S-I-D. S-U-S-C-S-I-D. I'm close to figuring it out. I can feel it.
That was Night Shift at BK Variety, written and read by Sultan Amorelli. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1160. Arnie Ackman recorded Sultan and Sean reading their stories. My name is Virginia Ashbury. Life Rattle returns next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with more stories. Life Rattle is produced from Ryerson University and was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Stay tuned now for Aggressive Rock, next on CKLN.